it and do it by the proper authority. The subject of authority runs through the entire Bible. In the New Testament, it comes up as a subject of relevance and importance in so many places. This will be gotten into further on in the study. Throughout the book of Acts, we hear, and they did this in the name of. They did this in the name of. And you hear that over and over. Whatever you do in words or deeds, do it in the name of. That's way back there, Colossians or Ephesians, one of them. All those passages are dealing with authority. Every one of them. So we want to look on the subject today so that we will have a better understanding, not just of the subject, but it will help us to relate to God in a better way. On the subject of authority, the question in Matthew chapter 21, particularly verse 23. This question, let us hear it.
And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?
I'm going to ask Brother Webb that you read the passage again.
And when he was come into the temple,
that is when Jesus Christ came into the temple,
the chief priests.
Notice, these are the religious leaders. What happened is that Jesus Christ did something previous to this. That is found in verse, 12, but we're not going to make too much comment on verse 12 yet. But Jesus Christ did something in verse 12 that shocked everybody. It's something that the Jews practice. They had turned the Gentile courts of the temple into a marketplace. And they have been doing that for such a long time that they just take for granted that it was okay. Brother Mitchell, I thought you said you're not going to comment much on that. Well, let me drop it then. But anyway, it was that Jesus Christ shocked them. So they probably thought of it and said, let us go and confront him. So now, in verse 23, they confronted Jesus Christ. Let us hear it.
And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him.
These are the religious leaders. The chief priests and the elders
of the people came unto
Jesus Christ
as he was teaching.
While Jesus Christ was teaching in the temple.
And said,
"By
what authority doest thou these
by
things?
By what authority do you do what you have done?
And who gave thee this authority?
And not may I? Brothers and sisters, this question, the two questions, rank as one of the most, or two of the most important questions ever asked. That's right. Get this. It is a question that should be addressed by preacher, by apostles, by elders, by deacons, by every church, every denomination, by every congregation of the Lord's church, by every brother, every sister who teach in the church. The question, by what authority am I doing what I'm doing? And from who does this authority come? It's a question that should never be taken lightly. That's right. And in the form that it is addressed here, by whose authority? And who gives you this authority? As I said, every church should put itself in a position to answer this question. Are we there? Every individual Christian, Brother Mitchell, yes, should pose this question, the things I do in my church, my belief, what I practice at church, by what authority do I hold this belief and do I practice what we practice? Wait. While I plan to comment more on the verse, notice that Jesus Christ did not respond by saying, I don't need any authority. Jesus Christ is concurring that. Christ's very answer is concurring that you need authority to do certain things. Jesus said, this rank as one of the most important question ever asked. May I? It implies that there are certain things that must be authorized by the proper authority. May I illustrate? I want to use three examples that are right within our borders, that is Jamaica, and some of them I'm sure you are well acquainted with. The street at which the Spanish Court Hotel is, that is, it runs from before the British High Commission office right down back. Anyone, you're in? Yes, well, Trafalgar Road, but this street runs down to the side what was the Hilton Hotel. The British Commission is on Trafalgar. St. Lucia. Now, there's a building on St. Lucia. I mean, it's about a 6, 7, 8, 10-story building that had been there for umpteen years. And use. There is no doubt that the investors spent millions of dollars to put up that building. And for many years I wonder, why is it that that building is never in use? And then it came to me, somebody, a person like Brother Peart is usually up to date with these things. He's in the building business. I don't remember if it was he, but somebody pointed out that it was built, and there's something about it that they did not get permission from the KCC. That's right. Brother Mitchell, how does that relate to your lesson? That's authority. They did not get permission from the right authority. There is also a building that, a bowling alley that was at almost at the end of South Avenue. That was torn down about 4 years ago. Had to be torn down. I'm told that even though the city council, that is KCC, informed the gentleman that he could not put up a bowling alley there, he still went ahead and do it. And then it was in use for some time. But finally, after they send him notice, and finally they told him now that it must be torn down, and it was torn down. Wait, notice what I'm dealing with here. It's situation where people, banks, financial institutions spend millions of dollars. You see, proper authority. And this one is closer home. Yesterday was Saturday. I think it was Friday. I stopped at Mr. Bell to a prayer with her. Most of you know Sister Bell. She was so faithful. Both Brother Bell, who passed before, and Sister Bell, they have been faithful people. And I stopped to a prayer with her, and you know, her daughter and myself spoke a little, and she said, Brother Mitchell, up right here, so that is just 2 gates from Sister Bell at the corner of Conway Drive and Aberville. Brother Mitchell, up where the wash car, the parish council tell them that they'll have to move by within the next 2 or 3 days. That was Friday. And she told me they had given them notice some years ago, and they still continue. Now, there are about 4 businesses there. You have the car wash, they sell gas, and then notice the tragedy here. There's one of the businesses was burned down before Christmas. don't remember if it is somewhere September, October, but it was burnt down. And to whomever it belonged, the person put up a nice concrete building right there, almost nice place. Now, remember, it matters not how small a little building is. It's costly. Now, Sister Bell's daughter was telling me that her nephew. She was telling me that her nephew, the place was burnt down. And he put it up. But it's neat and nice. Now, and that I have to move. Now, yesterday I left home and I stopped up Manning's Hill Road to get my car washed. And when I go, they had too many cars. The guy said that I'll have to wait 30 minutes or a hour. Now, that was precious time for me. I don't have that time to wait. So I left. I told myself, well, dirty car can stay dirty until I have the time to wash it. But what came in my mind is that the place down at Patrick City might have a little space for me. That's right. When I reach and look, the lot was an empty lot. Literally, all the building, the new little building man put up was not there, and you don't. The place is clean. In fact, it seems KSAC brought not only bulldozer but a few trucks. Now, what came to me is that the people, especially, I'm thinking of that young man who is the nephew of Sister Bell's daughter, which I think is Sister Bell's grandson. When the place burned down, he suffered loss. Huh? And he went and prayed the borrower, used up the little saving he had to build that place. But you know what? It was done without the proper authority. I sympathize with him. But at the same time, I understand the Kingston and St. Andrew point of view. Because if we are allowed to just build anywhere, do what we want, it would be chaos and disorder. And anarchy. Every man becomes a law unto himself. So while I am in sympathy with the young man who put up that building and the loss, not just him, the other places. You know, I've washed car there. But they didn't get to do what they do by the proper authority. Brothers and sisters, if the same thing is happening in religion, on the day of judgment, Jesus Christ will founders of churches, wait, founders of denominations, by what authority did you do that, and who gave you that authority? In fact, we'll be coming to deal with that area more, but I think those illustrations will help you to understand how important it is to understand that in some things you need to do it by authority and by the proper authority. Are we out here? we notice that from Jesus' response to the question, we learn that in spiritual, in moral, and in religious things, we operate either from man's authority or from God's authority. You notice that in Jesus' response? Brother, touch a little. In fact, let me go on, brother, because I think that I'll be picking up on that again. But let me just repeat, since we're not going to read it right now. That is from Jesus' response. We are still in the passage of Matthew chapter 21 and from verse 23. That is Christ's reply or response or Christ's question tells us that in spiritual matters, in moral matters, in religious matters, we operate either from God's authority or from man's authority. But wait, Jesus Christ further implied that when in spiritual, moral, and religious things we act by man's authority, we are doing what we are doing in vain. That's right. Wait, if I want to put up a building, I need man's authority. I'm assuming that what happened at Abbeville and Patrick Conway Drive is that the people probably was using a residential for a commercial business. So this is why when we purchased this piece of land, we had to apply, and we did. Applied to the Kingston and St. Andrew Corporation to get what they call a change of use. Or else, had we gone and built, they will probably come down while we are worshipping and tear it down. But we got the change of use. It was not a one-man decision. It's the council that met and decided whether they would or would not grant us a change of use. So for that, we need man's authority. Oh, that is building a church building, Brother Way. A church place where the church meet. You see, that is because Jesus Christ command the church to meet, but he did not tell us where to meet. He left that up to us. Huh? But then, building the church, you need God's authority. Wait. You see the distinction? There's a difference between building an edifice where the church meets and building the church. Building the church, which is the body of Christ. You cannot just go out and do your thing. Else all those who are a part of that so-called church will end up in hell. In fact, we are coming to that. Man. When, as I've said, in these areas, the areas of spiritual, religious, and moral, things we operate by man's authority, the action, the teaching, the worship is vain and it is worthless. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. Let us hear it. But in vain they do worship me,
teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You got the point here? Have you gotten it? That whenever in things like you are guided by man's teach, it matters not how sincere you are. All that what you call worship will be rejected by God. Because the passage is implying that unless worship is guided by God's word, that worship will be in vain. Somebody said, hear that. Read it again, brother, and listen carefully.
But in vain they do worship me.
Wait, stop there. He made a statement that some are worshiping him in vain. Notice here, the object of worship is right. God, Christ. So he's telling us why that worship is vain, mean no reward.
Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men.
If the teaching that guides that worship is man's commandment, however innocent it may sound, then that worship is in vain. Your effort is in vain. John, that's a nice building. I didn't know you had bought this lot. When they invite you, know me, just capture the land. Or, John, do you get the right permission from the parish council to do that? No, sir, me just doing a thing. May I? With the Almighty God, you do not do a thing. You do God's thing. Always remember that. You see, lots of times we are informal. I'm doing a thing. There are some areas of life, nothing wrong with that. It's not good, of course, to capture. I'm just passing that. Because a lot of time you invest and the owner turn up from out of nowhere and show you that he has a title. But back to the point. With God, you do not do a thing. With God, you do God's thing. It is along that line when Jesus Christ said, it's not everyone that saith unto me, but he that doeth my will. You see, Jesus Christ is there implying that religiously calling upon him is different from doing his will. And he's implying there in Matthew chapter 7:21 there that what counts is doing the will of God. That is found in the gospel. May I? We are driven by what I want, what I feel, what I like. We are driven by, I have an impulse to. Okay? Dealing with God, I beg that you drift away from those inclinations when you are dealing with God. Let me, before I even go further, is give you some examples. You see, brothers and sisters, visiting friends, the business of authority, and that is by whose word, command, dictates, are you acting? Are you acting by your feelings, sincere though it may be? Are you acting by what you like? The concept of authority flows through the entire Bible. And before we go further, you see, I want to get down. Example. But before we get there, let us run to a few Old Testament examples. Literally every adult and even the young people in our audience are well aware of the crossing of the Red Sea. Huh? Some of the characters involved, Moses and the Israelite, Pharaoh and the Egyptian. Did you know that it was all about on whose authority these two leaders acted? Let us quickly look on this. I have an example here. Let us turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Verse 15 and 16.
Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed.
Let me repeat. This great, miraculous act of the Almighty God that we read about, the division of the Red Sea, the Israelite crossing and the sea come back to its former position. Authority was involved here. Read again, brother. Exodus 15, verse 15 and 16.
Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone.
Is that Exodus 15?
Yes.
Let me hear verse 21. I'm wondering if you have the wrong Bible.
Exodus 14.
Is it 13?
Okay, 14, 15. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15.
Yes, that's the passage.
And the Lord said unto Moses.
That's the passage. And the Lord said unto Moses.
Wherefore criest thou unto me?
Why are you crying to me?
Speak unto the children of Israel.
Uh-huh.
That they go forward.
Uh-huh. That is, may I? They were at the edge of the Red Sea. And by the edge they could have been a few chains, a few miles away. But the Almighty God wanted them to continue on their journey as they make the transition from slavery in Egypt to freedom and being God's people, traveling to the promised land. The Almighty God said, why are you crying to me? Read on.
Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward.
Mm-hmm.
But lift thou up thy rod.
The Almighty God is telling Moses how it must be done. You see, brothers and sisters, you are before the Red Sea. And the Almighty God is telling you that you must go forward, and He has not provided you a boat or a ship. There's something wrong with that. But the Almighty God never left us in confusion like that. God told Moses, use your rod. Read, brother.
But lift up thy rod,
mm-hmm,
and stretch out thine hand over the sea.
Uh-huh.
And divide it.
Divide the sea. This is a miracle. This is extraordinary. Only the Almighty God could do such a thing. Read, what verse is that, brother?
We're at 16. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea.
you're thinking with me? The seabed has been water-soaked for thousands of years. The Red Sea didn't just happen. It has been there all along. Thousands of years. And the Almighty God told Moses that when you stretch your rod and divide the sea, you and the Israelites shall go over on dry land. Finish 16, brother.
That was the end of 15.
Step down to verse 22 and 23.
And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea.
Start at 21.
And Moses stretched out his hand,
uh-huh,
over the sea.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night.
Mighty God, you know, that must be a sight. Here is the seabed. Here is a body of water that has been there for not just hundreds of years, thousands of years. And just the stretch out of the man's arm with that rod, that piece of stick. The great God in heaven send a wind that divide the sea, cut it in two like a razor, and put one part of the body of water on one side and one part on the other side. That was verse 21. 22.
And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea,
mm-hmm,
upon the dry ground,
mm-hmm,
and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left.
That's verse 23.
And the Egyptian pursued,
uh-huh,
and went in after them.
My brothers and sisters, the Israelites were able to successfully cross based on God's authority. You see, it's important that we act by the right authority. And God's authority. There is some other authority here to our play. Read, brother. Take me up at verse 26 and 27.
And the Lord said unto Moses,
mm-hmm,
stretch out thine hand over the sea,
mm-hmm,
that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians.
Notice, in all these action of Moses, is acting on God's word. That is, by God's authority. Moses did not at first stretch out his rod for the Israelites to cross, because Moses feels or like to do that. It was on God's command. And you know what happened? The sea, that great awesome body of water, split in two like you cut it with a razor, or like a sheep, and the bed, you throw one part one side and one part the other side. God did that by simply Moses stretching his rod. But watch here now. The Almighty God told Moses, I want the seed to come back to its former form. Stretch your rod again. Read, brother.
Over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea.
God killed them. We need to do a little thinking here. In the first place, are you out there? And this is important. Sometimes we overlook this point. Remember, it's a miracle for Moses to have done what he did. Brothers and sisters, but Moses did what he did by God's command. That's God's authority. Watch me now. How did Pharaoh and the Egyptian find themselves in the middle of the sea? You watching me? How did they find themselves there? Watch here. In situation like that, all a person needs is to do a little thinking. Watch it. All that Pharaoh and the Egyptian needed to do when they saw the Israelite going through the parted sea is to think and say, but my God, this body of water, I am the Egyptian leader and I've seen this body of water comprising the Red Sea for umpteen years. My father's side, my grandfather's side. You know what? Common sense tell me not to follow them. May I? You see, brothers and sisters, when we are impulsive, can everybody hear me? If we are impulsive, we do a lot of self-destruct things. We don't think. Because all that was necessary then, you see a miracle that should haunt you for the rest of your life. How did they do that? I would like to catch those Israelites and kill all of them with Moses. But you know what? I'm not going to go in the path that they go. See the Red Sea part and that body of water boiling up over there, another part boil. No. That's the little common sense and little reason. A lot of times if we are impulsive and compulsive, if we are irrational, we do nothing. Wait. A lot of times we are driven by wrong emotions. Are we there? In those situations, we do not think. And that's what gets us in problems. Pharaoh and the Israelites had no business attempting to cross. Why were they destroyed, the Egyptian? The Egyptian went in by the authority of Pharaoh. Why were the Israelites saved? They went in by the authority of God. True. Brothers and sisters, I'm inviting you back. We don't even touch the New Testament. In fact, there are a few other cases. We want to look Not today, because time is gone. What I'm doing is give you a few examples of authority being exercised or not respected under the Old Testament system, and to see the consequences and the result. Then we come to the New Testament. You know, one of the passages that I find fascinating is where some people under the influence of Satan want to use God's authority wrongly. People under the influence of Satan, yes, and you have a lot of that today. Even in churches. And what I find is that even the demonic spirit respect the authority of God. Even the spirit under Satan's authority respect the authority of Jesus Christ. But we will not look into that today. We want to spend a little time with Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, when we pick up next week. May I? It is a misunderstood passage, misapplied passage, because a lot of people think the passage is dealing with Nain. Matthew 28. Go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son. The passage is not primarily dealing with name. It is dealing with authority. Come next week and let us study that. It's important that as God's people, we understand so that we can enlighten others. It's important that, I repeat, that in spiritual, religious, and moral things, we operate by God's authority. One of the passages that was read this morning is the fact that even worship is vain where it is not guided by the pure word of God. I would like to have gone further in this lesson this morning, but next week, come to study, learn with us, and bring somebody, because they will learn if they are interested in understanding. May I, in dealing with God, you must operate by Christ's authority. You must. If you are becoming a Christian, you must do so by the word of God. If you are worshiping, if you are living the Christian life, God's word, Christ's authority, must be your guide. Right now, you can become a Christian the Bible's way. That's the only right way to become a child of God. The Bible's way. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell, by the Bible's way? That is, you can become a Christian right now, today, the same way men and women became Christian when the Apostle Paul and Peter and others were here. The same steps of salvation they confronted men and women with is the same steps of salvation we are confronting you with today. You see, if we do otherwise, we would be misleading you. You need to hear God's word. You need to believe in God's word, including believing that Jesus Christ is the only person who can address your sin problem. Christ. How he does that? When you believe in him, Well, let me put it generally and refine it. Believe in him and obey him. That's right. Refine it now, Brother Mitchell. You must believe that he's God's son. When he went to Calvary, it was a sinless, pure, holy man of God who had given up his God-likeness in heaven, his part of his divinity, and come to earth as a human being and died for your sin. You must believe that. You must, as a result of that belief, understand that Christ is asking you to give up your sinful, disobedient, ungodly, worldly way of life. The Bible called that repentance. The word really means to turn. To turn from a way you are going to the right way. Are you a Christian when you repent? No, you must be willing to confess my sins, Brother Mitchell. No. If we should ask you to do that, we would be out of our place. Because you know what? You wouldn't even remember all of them. That's right. What must you confess? Jesus' name. You must show that you are not ashamed to own Jesus Christ as your Lord. Am I a Christian when I confess Christ's name? No, but you are on your way. After confessing Christ's name, something in the form of I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you must be baptized. One of the great things about baptism, that is where the Almighty God deals with your sin. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because when you are buried, you are concurring. You are uniting with Jesus Christ. When you are buried under the water, it symbolically reenacts Jesus' burial in the tomb. When you are buried under the water, it represents the fact that you are uniting with Jesus Christ in his death, where his blood was shed. So through baptism, you get under the influence of the blood of Christ. And then, your sins are washed away. Acts 22:16. Why wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. 22:16. So it is in baptism, which symbolically stands for Jesus' death and burial. It is there that the Almighty God applied the blood of Jesus Christ to your soul. You come from the watery grave of baptism like a new person in the sight of God. Do you know what? You can do that today, right now. We are going to stand and sing a song. And you, next week when we come, you are going to learn more how, when the Bible tells us when the apostles did a baptism, that they do it in the name of the Lord. That was not something they necessarily said. They were just, the inspired writer was just telling you that they did it on Christ's authority. They did not perform baptism or preach it based on their whims and fancy and what they like. It was based on Jesus' authority. When you get baptized today, when your intelligence and your common sense speak to you that it's time to give your life to Christ, when you get baptized, you will be acting on Jesus' authority. You'll never go wrong when you act on Jesus' authority. As we stand and sing, Jesus Christ is saying to you, come unto me.